Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is enhancements to the service integration bus in WebSphere Application Server version 8.5. Today's presenters are Ty Schrake and John Cicola. Ty has been working with IBM for over 18 years and has been with the Level 2 support team for service integration bus since the release of the product. John C. has been working with IBM approximately 7 years and has been supporting the WebSphere group of products since she joined. Initially, for 5.5 years, she supported WebSphere MQ. She has been supporting Service Integration Bus the last year and a half. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John C.
Thank you, David. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 2. In this presentation, we will cover the new enhancements in service integration bus in WebSphere Application Server 8.5 and discuss how these are different as compared to the previous WebSphere versions 7 and 8. And we will also discuss each one in detail, followed by the summary and question and answers session. This presentation covers mid-level technical details, so we expect audience to have some basic understanding of service integration bus functionality and how it works in WebSphere Application Server. Let's move on to slide number 3. WebSphere Application Server version 8.5 implements a powerful and flexible embedded messaging platform. These are the key enhancements in the area of service integration bus in WebSphere Application Server 8.5. The first bullet, messaging engine failover change. This enhancement is applicable if you are using data store as message store in high availability clustering environment. This gives smooth failover of the messaging engine in HA environment as compared to the previous versions WAS 7 and WAS 8.0. And the second bullet, the second new enhancement is automatic re-enablement of disabled messaging engine. In WebSphere Application Server 7 and 8, if ME is disabled, manual intervention is needed to enable the messaging engine either through the core group settings panels or restarting the JVM. In version 8.5, there is no need of manual intervention to enable the disabled messaging engine. And the third one is short duration of database logs. In version 7, WAS 7.0 and 8.0, messaging engine uses long-running database logs, which creates problems during messaging engine failover or during JVM hang or JVM crash or during messaging engine loss database connectivity. We change the long-running database logs to short duration of database logs. This new locking mechanism helps the standby messaging engine to acquire the lock on the SIP tables during the failover, and the failover is very precise and without any problems. The fourth one is new messaging engine configuration recovery command. This command applies to both file store as well as data store. If messaging engine configuration files are lost or corrupted, we can recover and restore the messaging engine configuration from the message store. And the next one, which is the fifth bullet, message redelivery count is persisted. In WAS 8.5, during the ME restart or server restart, this redelivery count is persisted. In WebSphere version 7 and 8, this count is started again from zero after ME or JVM is restarted. The last one, bus performance improvements. In version 8.5, we have improved messaging engine startup time by loading the destinations concurrently in a multi-core architecture. The concurrent loading is possible. The concurrent loading of destinations and other stuff is possible if message store is configured with the database which supports parallel reads by multiple threads. Out of these six new enhancements, except the new messaging engine configuration recovery command, which is the fourth one, only this fourth one is applicable to data store as well as file store. All the remaining are applicable to only for the data store. So let's discuss each one in detail. So let's move on to next slide, slide number four, please. In WebSphere application server, HM manager keeps track of the health of the messaging engines. HM manager performs the health check periodically for every 2 minutes, which is the default value of the ease alive parameter. You can set this one in the core group service settings. If you want, you can increase or decrease. Whenever ME lost the database connectivity or lost the lock from the data store tables in a HA environment, messaging engine reports a local error, something like J2CA0056I, and HA manager health check is failed and logs this message as mentioned on this slide, HMGR0130I. As per this message, whenever there is a health check is failed, HA manager throws this message indicating that, hey, messaging engine is not alive and JVM will be terminated. You can see the system out panic message also after this HA manager 013i system out panning component requested panic from is alive. That means whenever HA manager throws this error, it will terminate the JVM. So all the applications running on this JVM are also terminated. Whenever HA manager terminates this one, it will automatically move the messaging engine to the other instance in the same cluster environment on the other JVM. As JVM is terminated, all the JVM applications are also terminated. Since WAS does not fail over the applications from one JVM to another JVM, in this case, HA manager just fail over the messaging engine from one server to other server, not the applications. So the applications running on the initial JVM where the messaging engine was running are inoperable until the server is restarted again. A number of changes have been made in version 8.5 to provide the isolation of the messaging engine instance from the application server. In version 8.5, ME failover process is significantly cleaner and simpler. Let's move on to slide number 5, please. In WebSphere application server version 8.5, whenever ME lost the database connectivity, HA manager just stops and disabled the messaging engine on this server and just failover the messaging engine to the other standby instance on the other server within the same cluster. As JVM is not killed in WAS 8.5, all the applications are not affected by this messaging engine problem. Here in this diagram, we have a cluster and two servers, server 1 and server 2, and we have a messaging engine, and each server has its instances. The messaging engine in server 1, the instance is ME1, and in server 2, the messaging engine instance is ME2. The standby one. Whenever ME lost the database connectivity in server 1, in this case ME1 is running on server 1, whenever ME1 lost the database connectivity or lost the lock on the SIP tables, the HM manager just simply stops and disables in server 1 and move the messaging engine to server 2, and from the server 2, the messaging engine is able to get the lock if there are no database connectivity issues. So this ensures the clean and cleaner and precise failover of the smooth failover of the messaging engine in WAS 8.5. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 6. These are the advantages of the messaging engine failover change in WAS 8.5. As JVM is not cleared, HM manager just stops and disable the ME from one server to another server, so the failover is very smooth, and also the faster recovery of the failure from this issue, database connectivity issues. And the third bullet, applications running on the server can connect to the standby messaging engine, which is on the other server, which is becomes active messaging engine on the other server, and all the applications are connected to the other messaging engine, other instance of the messaging engine on the other server. That's it for this slide, and let's move on to slide number 7. This is the second new enhancement, automatic re-enablement of disabled messaging engines. This is a great enhancement many of our customers are looking from long time. In WAS 7 and 8, if there is any database connectivity failure during the initial startup of the messaging engine, this instance is disabled. The disabled messaging engine is not available for failover. It has to be manually re-enabled through the core group policy settings, or you need to restart the server. In either case, manual interaction is required to resolve this problem whenever the messaging engine is disabled. Also, manually re-enabling the messaging engine using the core group panels in WAS admin console is tedious and a little bit error prone. So that's it for this slide, and let's move on to next slide, slide number 8. In WAS 8.5, the disabled messaging engine is re-enabled after 30 seconds, which is the default setting. The re-enabled messaging engine is available for failover, and it can make the re-attempt to connect to the data store. By default, these attempts will last for 15 minutes. If these attempts fail, the messaging engine will again become disabled. However, after 30 seconds, it will be automatically re-enabled for more data store connection attempts. By default, messaging engine is re-enabled 5 times, and beyond that, it remains in disabled state if it not able to connect to the data store and get the lock. At this point, it has to be manually re-enabled through the core group settings or restart the JVM to enable this instance of this messaging engine. Because of this new enhancements, ME put more effort for longer duration of time to connect to the data store and interact with its data store before user interaction is required. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 9. This slide summarizes this new enhancement in WAS 8.5. The disabled messaging engine gets re-enabled after 30 seconds by default. You can change this re-enabled period whatever you want. The re-enabled messaging engine is available for failover without manual intervention. To support this new enhancement, a custom property is added, sip.me enable instance on failure. The default setting of this property is true. In this case, disabled messaging engine gets enabled itself automatically. If you set this property to false, you get the same behavior of previous versions, version 7.0 and 8.0 and later versions of those, which means it won't re-enable the ME automatically when it is disabled. This new enhancement is applicable only for messaging engines using the data store. This is not applicable for file store. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 10. This ME enable instance on failure property determines whether the disabled messaging engine must be enabled again automatically or not in case of messaging engine is disabled. There are two undocumented custom properties are available for changing the default re-enablement period, SIP.ME auto re-enable period and re-enable count, SIP.ME re-enable count. These are not mentioned in the info center. These are the undocumented custom properties. For example, if you set SIP.ME auto re-enable period to 60 seconds, ME is re-enabled after 60 seconds. If you set SIP.ME re-enable count to 10, ME is re-enabled for 10 times before it gets into disabled state and manual intervention is needed. To take the advantage of this new SIP custom properties, you need to add these properties to the SIP.properties file. You can find the sample SIP.properties file in the install root properties directory. So this is for automatic re-enablement of disabled messaging engine. And at this point, I would like to hand over the presentation to my colleague, Tai Shrek, to continue the presentation.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tai Shrek with SIP Level 2. David, if we can proceed to the next slide, slide 11, please. Okay, for each of these features we're going to talk about, I'm probably going to do a little background information first. This particular feature, short-duration database locks, goes back to the fact that for a long time, well, since its inception, when a messaging engine started, it acquired a lock on its data store, as expected. However, that lock was long duration. In other words, as long as the messaging engine was running, that lock was in place. It was almost like a death grip on the database. That created problems during failover. And unless you had your system tuned in a particular manner, you were going to encounter problems. And most customers viewed that as an outage. So this has been changed. So this is a very, very important new feature in 8.5. So let me read this for you. It says, this is one of the most important changes to WAS 8.5 because it changes a behavior that customers often viewed as a production outage. In WAS 8.5, messaging engines in the service integration bus no longer hold long-running locks on data stores or databases. This means that if a messaging engine becomes unexpectedly disconnected from its data store, it will usually be able to recover from this failure quickly and without manual intervention. Now, the old locking mechanism held long-running locks, and this created production issues, for example. So let's have a look at this diagram here. On the left-hand side, we see ME1, Messaging Engine 1, running on Server 1. And then we see a link to the database to the lower right, and you see that red lightning bolt. That's the connection. If the connection breaks under the old model, the messaging engine would fail over to the right to ME2, which is the standby instance, and it would try to get a new lock to the database, but it would not be able to because the old lock was still there. Okay, and many of you have probably seen this before. There is a way to deal with this. David, if we can proceed to slide 12, please. The old locking mechanism resulted in what was effectively a hang in the messaging system that could ultimately result in a disabled messaging engine. details of this scenario and how to tune your system to deal with this situation can be found in a previous WebSphere technical exchange found here at this link. This was a technical exchange presentation that I did myself a couple years ago that explains how to work around this situation with this orphaned lock that remained on the database. And basically it involves tuning the TCP/IP keep alive timeout parameter, which is normally set to 2 hours. The presentation that links here explains in detail how and why tuning that corrects this problem. It goes into all the gory details. I won't do that here. But the upshot is that in WAS 8.5, you don't really have to worry about that so much anymore because we have changed the locking mechanism. So if we can go to slide 13, please. Okay, so with short-duration database locks, things are quite a bit smoother and cleaner. The new locking mechanism ensures that once ownership of the database is established during messaging engine startup, the lock is released such that there are no longer any long-running locks. As a result, if a failover occurs, the standby messaging engine, ME2 in this diagram, will now be able to immediately acquire a new lock on the data store and resume messaging functions quickly and without user intervention or any sort of hang. Now, that's a very big change from the way it was previously. And so just looking at this diagram, just to go through it again real quick, we've got ME1 running on server 1, and let's say that it loses its connection to the database. That's that red lightning bolt. When that happens, it will fail over to ME2 on server 2, and it, by default, the ME will immediately try to get a new lock on the database, and this time it will succeed. Under the old long-term locks, it would not succeed. You had to do a bunch of tuning and so on to get this to work. Not so anymore with WAS 8.5. This should work straight away for you with no intervention or special tuning involved. Okay, slide number 14, please. Okay, this is really important. In order to get this to work, you have to enable this when the messaging engine is created. I'll read here. It says, note that this feature is optional. In order to use short-duration locks, you must manually specify this when creating the messaging engine. During the messaging engine creation process, you'll be presented with this panel, and there's a new feature on this panel called Restrict Long-Running Locks. You have to check that, and then you will use short-duration locks. If you're already using short-duration locks, I'm not aware of any way of going back and changing that fact. You have to recreate the messaging engine and the data store in order to use these. I expect in the future that products that automatically configure messaging systems for you, such as WPS and so on, will probably do this for you automatically. But at the moment, they probably don't, so be aware of that. But I expect that these short-duration locks will become the norm in the future, the standard. Okay, so let's go to slide number 15, please. Okay, there is one other important item to note about this feature, and this really applies to DBAs as opposed to WAS administrators, is that if you enable this feature, these short-duration locks, and it's highly recommended that you do, it does not mean that you'll be able to run database tools against the SIB tables while those tables are in use by their respective messaging engines. This includes popular tools such as RunStats. The purpose of this locking change is to improve disaster recovery, but the fact that the database lock is short-term doesn't mean you can now perform actions against the tables that you could not do before. In other words, any previous restrictions remain in place. And the bottom line and a rule of thumb with this is when a messaging engine is running, it needs to interact with a certain set of tables that it owns. And the rule of thumb and best practice is don't run any database tooling against those tables while that messaging engine is running, even with short-duration locks. Okay, let's move to slide 16, please. Okay, WAS 8.5 includes a very handy new command that will save a lot of pain if you're aware of it. Let me read through the list here, and then I'll kind of flesh it out a little bit. There's a new command, It's called the Recover ME Config WS Admin command for disaster recovery. If your messaging engine configuration becomes corrupt, such as corrupt or lost XML files, this command can be used to recover the configuration by reading data out of your message store, either a data store or a file store. If you delete your messaging engine, you can now recreate it easily without the need to delete your message store first. And I'll get back to that in a second. Recovery includes the reconstruction of queue and topic destinations, and once that's done, messages can then be processed. All properties are set to their default value, so some reconfiguration may be required. In other words, if you went into the WAS admin console and set some custom property on your messaging engine, if you run this command, it will recreate the messaging engine, but you may need to re-enable that property. You may need to re-enter it. This command does not recover lost messages. And after the command completes, you will have a new messaging engine that uses your old configuration data. In other words, your old data store or file store. Also, all persistent messages will be restored to the appropriate destinations. This command is handy because customers frequently delete and recreate their messaging engines. And that presents a problem. There's a warning message that's presented to you in WAS about doing this, but basically what happens is that customers, when a messaging engine is created, it also gets a message store created, data store or file store. And that message store belongs to that messaging engine. They're a matched set. They belong together. No other messaging engine can use that message store. Only the one that originally created it can use it. Okay, so they belong together. If you delete your messaging engine and recreate it, even if that new messaging engine has exactly the same name as the old one, it will not be able to use the old data store. They're no longer a match set, even though you might think they are. This command, once you do that, and before this command existed, the only way around that problem was to get rid of the old message store and recreate the whole thing. Well, now you don't have to do that with this command, okay? Now, having said all of that, customers frequently delete and recreate their messaging engines believing that this is going to solve some problem for them, some JMS error or something else. I can tell you from experience that's almost never the case. It's very rare that deleting a messaging engine and recreating it actually solves a problem. Some customers do this on a routine basis for various reasons. In any event, when they do that, they can now use this command to recover their messaging engine to use the old message store instead of having to get rid of the message store and start from scratch and recreate everything. So it's a very handy, very efficient tool. Slide 17, please. Okay, here's just a couple of examples of how to actually use the command, how to run it. The first example is if you're using a data store, and you can see from the command here that it uses your data source name and your schema name, basically, to figure out which tables to pull the messaging engine data out of and then use that data to recreate the messaging engine. Then the second example performs the same action, but this time with a file store. And you'll notice that the command references all three files in the file store. In other words, the log file, the permanent log or the permanent store file, and the temporary store file. The message store, whether it's a database or a file store, most people think, okay, well, that's to store messages. Well, it is. That's what they're for. But there's also information in there about your messaging engine and all the queues and topics that are owned by that messaging engine. That's the information that this command uses to recreate your messaging engine. Okay, so the message store is more than just a place to store message. There's a whole bunch of information in there really about your configuration. Okay, slide 18, please. Okay, message redelivery count is persisted. This was probably included at the request of a customer, and let me give you a little background so that this will make sense to you. In service integration bus, or JMS generally, in application server environments, one of the most common bits of configuration is the use of message-driven beans. And that's basically a consumer application. In other words, it gets messages off of a queue and then processes them. But the message-driven bean, or EJB, doesn't actually connect to the bus or to the queue. So you've got a queue with messages, you've got a message-driven bean, you've got to have something in between them that does this. Well, that's the SIB resource adapter. Some people call it the activation specification. The activation specification is actually the configuration data for the resource adapter. The resource adapter is the program that connects to a queue, gets a message off of it, and then delivers it or passes it to your message-driven bean. Okay? Now, by default, well, assuming everything works, once the bean processes the message, it'll go to then we'll pass the next one to it. But if there's a problem processing the message, and the bean cannot complete that, and then the whole thing gets rolled back, and the message gets rolled back to the queue, and then we'll try it again. We'll deliver it again for a second time. Well, by default, we'll try to deliver five times. If the bean cannot process the message after five attempts, then we, by default, take that message and put it on the system exception destination. So we don't lose it, but we get it out of the way because there may be a problem with that message. Well, the default value for this is five times, but sometimes people will increase this redelivery count to a much higher value. In other words, to give the MDB more opportunities to process the message. Well, if that number is very high and you're in the middle of, say you set it to 500, which I've seen before, then what if you're in the middle of that and you're on redelivery attempt number 386, and then for some reason you have to stop the messaging engine and restart it? Well, under WAS versions prior to 8.5, when you did that, we would go back to redelivery attempt number 1. So you had to go through that whole thing all over again. Under WAS 8.5, we record that value so that when you restart, you will now start where you left off. So if the last time was number 380, you will now attempt redelivery attempt number 381. So it's a real time saver for some customers. It's not very common that this value is increased to very large redelivery attempt numbers, but some customers do it, so this will help them. Okay, slide number 19, please. Okay, bus performance improvements. Let me give you a little background here. And this is really, really nifty to understand. When you have a messaging system, by default, all the messages on the queues are persistent. In other words, when a message is put on a queue, it's in memory, but it's also stored in your message store, either a file store or a data store. Now, let's say that you have lots and lots of messages on the queues, maybe hundreds of thousands, which is not uncommon. And then let's say something terrible happens. You lose power, some other situation occurs. The messaging engine has to shut down, and maybe the whole server shuts down. Well, when the messaging engine starts back up, it has to read all of those messages out of the message store and restore them to their various queues. That's called reconstitution. Now, imagine if you had 600,000 or 800,000 or 1 million messages. That could take a while, and in fact, it does take a while. So let me read this before we go further here. It says, when a messaging engine starts, it must perform an action called reconstitution. This is the process of reading information out of the data store and using that information to do two things. Number one, recreate all the JMS destinations. And number two, restore all persistent messages to those destinations. Now, before WAS 8.5, this process could take a very long time if there were a very large number of destinations and messages that needed to be restored to them. Reconstitution could take over an hour in some cases. And what particularly comes to mind is WPS systems where you have hundreds of queues. I've seen systems with over 1,000 queues, and that's a lot of queues, which means there's probably going to be a lot of messages. So if you get into a situation that where you have a catastrophic shutdown, restart could take a while because of all of the reconstitution that needs to take place. Now, having said all that, I should point out that if you have thousands and thousands and thousands of messages stacking up on queues, that's not good. It's not healthy. It probably means there's an issue with your consumer applications not keeping up with the message load. That's a whole different discussion. But in any case, if you see that, that right there should raise a flag. But in any event, if you do have that situation and you have a shutdown, an unexpected shutdown, this new feature will help greatly. Let's go to the next slide, slide 20, please. Okay, in WAS version 8.5, the reconstitution process has been modified to run much faster so that even with large numbers of messages in the system, the messaging engine is able to start in a reasonable period of time. Because until all of these messages are restored to their queues, you can't do any messaging. You're stuck because you're in an in-between state. You have to wait until everything is available to applications before you can start doing JMS stuff. So in WAS, and here we get to the meat and potatoes of this situation. In WAS 8.5, destinations are loaded concurrently rather than serially. However, this is only possible if the messaging engine is using a data store, not a file store. This doesn't work for file stores. And a database that supports parallel reads by multiple threads. Most of them do, pretty much all of them. The performance improvement is directly proportional to the parallel processing capability of the database and the capacity of the system on which the messaging engine is running. Further, the number of concurrent threads is always equal to the number of cores or processors on the system. So a four-core system will use four threads for reconstitution, as opposed to, say, one. Now, that greatly speeds up the messaging engine startup process. So let's go to slide 21, please. Okay, so in order to use this feature, it's not turned on by default. You have to set the SIB processor max reconstitute thread pool size parameter, and this parameter specifies the number of threads used to load destinations concurrently when messaging engine is started. If your database does not support parallel multiple reads by multiple threads, then you might set the property value to 1 so that contention among threads can be avoided. The default value is the number of cores on the system, for example, if you set it equal to 4 using that 4-core example I just mentioned. I would recommend setting this just in case. It will, especially on a production system, it will greatly speed up recovery. And this, along with the other features that we've talked about with failover and so on and short-term locks and all that stuff, greatly increases the resiliency of the bus and messaging engines and the whole JMS system. And I think most customers will be very happy with the changes. Let's go to slide 22, please. Okay, so just a quick summary. John C. talked about messaging engine failover changes where now instead of having the entire server the messaging engine is running on stopped, only the messaging engine fails over from one server to another. All the servers in the cluster remain running. That's a big change. Automatic re-enablement of disabled messaging engines, that's more of a convenience feature, but it certainly simplifies things for customers. Short duration database locks. That's a huge improvement over the previous model and should reduce pain greatly during any kind of a failover. New messaging engine configuration recovery command, very handy and should speed things up and make things simpler for customers. Message redelivery count is persistent for those who have very high recount settings. And the bus performance improvements, specifically the reconstitution of messages, is greatly sped up by the new custom parameter and feature that's involved with that. And slide number 23, please. Okay, there are additional resources for WebSphere product, of course, and you can learn about upcoming technical exchanges at that first link. And there's a bunch of other links here for various purposes. I won't go through all of them. But if you're involved in WebSphere or supporting WebSphere on a regular basis, I highly recommend looking into these. They have a lot of useful information. And there's also forums and so on available at some of these sites that are very helpful where you can get technical questions answered as well.
Thank you, Ty and Johnson, for a great presentation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We do have a question from Sam Kelly.
We have a production cluster with about 50 messaging engines, and we are in a situation to delete some of the JVMs and corresponding messaging engines, say JVM 30 through 35. Is it safe to delete all the unwanted messaging engines and JVMs and remove the policy entries from the core group. Any precautions to be considered? We are also planning to, remove the nodes in some time. So we have come across some issues when we have done some things like that before. So we just wanted to inform you that we are in WebSphere 7, and is there anything else to be considered? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is Ty. I can answer that question. Sorry for that. I was on mute. I don't know the details of your configuration, Sam, so I can't be too specific with my answer, but I will say that if all the messaging engines are in the same cluster, I'm assuming you probably have some sort of WLM configuration going where messages are spread out across the messaging engines and so the processing is distributed across them. If that's the case, then deleting some of those messaging engines in principle shouldn't cause a problem. However, if that's not the case, then you may have a configuration where applications are configured to connect to a particular messaging engine. And if that's the case, then you have to make sure that the messaging engines you're deleting, that any applications that connect to those messaging engines are reconfigured to connect to other messaging engines that you're not deleting. So that would be my one warning. But if you're using a WLM workload management configuration where messages, you have 50 messaging engines, which is a lot in one cluster. It's a very large number. The only explanation I can think of would be that you're using this for WLM purposes, workload management. And if that's the case, then you should be able to delete them without a problem. But before you delete anything or change anything at all in any way, make sure you back up your WAS configuration. And there are commands to do that so that if you do make a change and it causes a problem, you can go right back to where you were before and reconsider what you want to do. Is there any other questions? I think somebody in the chat session had a question about message-driven beans and listening to MQQs. The question apparently is it possible to have the MDB on one cluster member listening on the MQQ as opposed to both cluster members? In other words, isolate the MDB to one cluster member, in other words, one server in a cluster, so it's not on every server in the cluster, and have it only on that one and listening on a queue. You can do that. That has less to do with JMS configuration than it does with deployment considerations. When you deploy an application, whether it's an MDB or anything else, you can control the scope of that deployment. In other words, where you want that application to run. So if you want it to run on just one server, you can do that. If you want it to run on every server in the cluster, then you can deploy it at cluster scope. So you could do that. Having it run on just one server is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have multiple instances of that same MDB running on that one server to make sure that you consume messages in a timely fashion. In other words, that each one of those instances will consume messages from the MQQ so that if one MDB is busy with a message, another one can move on to the next message. But there's nothing wrong with that configuration. I wouldn't call it a bad practice. In some ways, it might be a good practice because it keeps things compartmentalized and easier to troubleshoot and manage. So there's nothing wrong with that configuration, and yes, it can be done. But it's more of a deployment thing than anything else. Yeah, I think we had one other question for Jonsi.
Yeah, the question in the group chat is, in cluster of two servers, server 1 and server 2, there will be ME1 and ME2, all both active and active messaging engines? No, it depends upon what type of configuration you are using. If you are using the HA, high availability environment, and when you add a cluster to a bus, it will, by default, it will create only one messaging engine. And each member in that cluster, for example, if you have two servers, server 1 and server 2, both will have the instance of that messaging engine. And during the startup, whatever is the messaging engine that gets the lock on the data store or on the message store, it will be started on the JVM, and that becomes the active messaging engine. And on the other server, that instance will become the standby instance.
All right. I think I see another message in the group chat. It says, we have created SIB with security disabled. and added cluster members server 1 and server 2, how many message engines will be created and what are their states, active-active or active-standby?
Yeah, whenever you add a cluster to any bus, by default, if you choose the high availability, it will create only one messaging engine. And just now, as mentioned in the other question, whatever is the server messaging engine that gets the lock first out of the others, it will become the active messaging engine, and on the other servers, the other instances become the standby instance. It is common for the file store as well as the data store.
Okay, thank you. And a follow-up to that same question, the same person is asking, in the presentation, does DB mean data store?
Yeah, DB, that means database. We have message store, that means one is the file store and the other one is data store. If you are using the data store, that means you are using some database like DB2, SQL, or some other database.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And another question came in. Can we prioritize who gets the active ME during startup, or does it depend on who gets the lock first?
Yes, you can have preferred server list. You can set up that one in the configuration. If you set a specific server first, it will try to start ME on that specific JVM. If that has any problems, then it will HM manager will start on the other server. Kai, do you want to add anything for this one?
No, you basically hit the main point. Can you repeat the question, David? I just want to make sure I understand it properly.
He said, can we prioritize who gets the active for ME during startup, or it depends on who gets the lock first?
Well, Johnsy's right. You can specify which server the ME will run on. By default, if you have a cluster of servers, say three servers in that cluster, and it's your messaging cluster, during startup, the messaging engine will start on whichever server is ready first. So it's basically a race. In principle, it doesn't matter which server the messaging engine is running on. However, if it is possible using core group policies to pin a messaging engine on a particular server so that it only runs on that server, I think that goes to the customer's question. It doesn't have anything at all to do with database locks or anything like that. I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you. And then another question, I believe it's just worded different, and you already answered it. But it says, can you deploy the app to the cluster and have the MDB listing only on one of the app servers? How do you stop the MDB from listing on the other member in the cluster?
You're right, David. This kind of goes back to the question I answered before. When you deploy an application, you can tell it where to run. In other words, what scope to run. And if you want it to run on just one server, you can basically point it to that server and say, you're only going to run on that server. Likewise, you can have it run on multiple servers. This goes back to application deployment choices during the deployment process. If you have an MDB that's running on, say, two servers, but you only want it to run on one, the only way I know of to prevent it from running on the other server or to stop it is to stop the server. And there might be some other way around that, but I'm not aware of it, because if you go into the WAS admin console and you go look at the list of installed applications, you'll find your message-driven bean there, and it'll show that the state is started or running. If you stop it, it stops it on all servers. It doesn't do it on a per-server basis. So if you want to do it on a per-server basis, the only way I know to do that is to actually stop the server. Now, the WAS CET team may have a way around that, but I'm not aware of one.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Ty and Johnsy, for presenting today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.